Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast with you. A new betting favorite emerges to land Deshaun Watson. I feel like this is going to shuffle around based on the news cycle several times between now and the draft. Seth, the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos favored to land Deshaun Watson. And what's interesting is this is according to FanDuel. FanDuel now into the sports betting space, not just fantasy football. And the way they couch this bet is next NFL team Deshaun Watson will play a snap for. Not who he will play for if the Texans trade him. Who is the next NFL team Deshaun Watson will play a snap for? Denver is the favorite at plus 150, which means you bet 100, you win 150 bucks.
Yeah.
Number two on the list, the Houston Texans at 3-1. So the Texans are.
Oh, really?
The Texans are 3-1 to, I guess.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take those odds. That's where I am. Yeah. I'm pathetic now. I'm like the husband that hopes that I'm one of three guys that his wife comes home to that night.
That's basically what that is.
I got a shot. I love you.
Seth, that is basically what that is. Yeah, if marriage is a contract, then we are the guy hoping that his wife comes home to one of her three men that she has in her life.
Honey, just so you know, I'm getting paid tomorrow. I could take you out to a nice dinner if you could leave your boyfriend for a little while and come back to me. That's who we are with Deshaun. Hey, Deshaun, I'm not trying to be pushy or anything, but you know, we did say we'd be together forever. So
why are we Office Pete? Why do we say
I'm just thinking, when you talk about how FanDuel does gambling right now,
yeah.
I can remember back when I did FanDuel live reads, and the person who was in charge of those live reads, our AE, our account executive, she wasn't a huge fan of the fact that, like, a couple times people call and be like, hey, this daily fantasy is just like gambling, right? And I was like, oh yeah, it's totally gambling. Yeah, it's thinly veiled gambling that's using a loophole. And she'd come and say, hey, Seth, you know, the FanDuel guys would appreciate it. I'm like, okay, I'll lose the sponsorship, but it's gambling. It's totally gambling. It's 100% gambling.
Rich Lord would do the same thing. Right after we would do a FanDuel live read, like a joint one, he'd be like, yeah, you know, this fantasy football is basically betting. I'm like, Rich, you were on the conference call. They told us not to say that. This is
I couldn't not say it, though.
At the time, that's what was keeping them in business, is it wasn't considered gambling, you know?
Right. So. But I didn't think they needed to shy away from that, because the loophole was like the Internet Gaming Act of 2014 or something. The loophole was the loophole.
Yeah.
I guess they just didn't want to call more attention to it than they
now needed. Here we are, and they're very much embedded in the sports gambling space. So the Denver Broncos.
Look, insurance is gambling to a certain degree. So
it is. It is. Yeah. The stock market is gambling. So the Denver Broncos emerging as the new betting favorite. Now, John McClain was on KOA up in Denver with our friend Alfred Williams. And they, as soon as these new odds came out, they said, oh, we got to get McClain on to talk about Deshaun Watson so we can ask him about the Broncos becoming the betting favorite. Here was John McClain when they asked him about, when Alfred Williams asked him about Deshaun Watson coming to the Broncos.
First of all, I'll guarantee you the Broncos ain't getting Deshaun Watson. If they were going to trade him, which they say that they are not going to trade him, and he's never said anything publicly. We don't have a clue what Watson is really upset about because he hasn't given any indication.
All right, so I listened to the rest of the interview. They were a little disturbed by how dismissive John was of Deshaun Watson going to Denver.
I guess, but John, did John ever give a real reason as to why he wouldn't go to Denver specifically? It sounded there like he was more just saying that he doesn't think Deshaun's going to get traded at all.
He went on to say that if he's going to get traded anywhere, do we have that one too, Ben? He went on to actually name a team that they would start with here.
If they trade him, trade talks would have to start with the Jets because the Jets are the only team that could guarantee them the second best quarterback prospect in the draft, plus a whole lot more. Plus, they have four number ones in the next 2 years, and it would take at least four number ones to get Deshaun Watson.
Okay, so John has been steadfast in the Jets needing to be where they start off. I never know with John if that's coming from any sort of information that he's getting, or if that's just John looking at the landscape and saying, well, the Jets are the most logical trade partner, because he's right about that. If you're going to get the best deal, if you're going to try to shoot for the moon, the Jets have the highest pick that you can go get, and they're the one team that has four first-round picks in the next 2 years. They're the only team that can give you four first-round picks potentially in the next 2 years because of the two extras that they got from the Jamal Adams trade.
Look, if Deshaun really liked Robert Saleh too, then there's more of a chance that maybe he won't invoke that no-trade clause. But I don't want to assume that he won't invoke the no-trade clause to go to the Jets because the Jets are not a great roster right now. And I think Deshaun is heady enough to know that, hey, as badly as the Texans roster has been mismanaged, there are other bad rosters out there too. So if you go to the Jets, are you going to trust that they're going to get that roster back really good for you really fast? And I don't know if he believes that. Maybe I don't know if he thinks Robert Saleh is a miracle worker or what, but maybe it's as simple as, hey, he's holding out for whichever team he thinks is the best roster fit. And that's why this thing could take forever, because that's got to be who the Texans can work out a trade with too.
The Dolphins, Seth, to me, the Dolphins are the only team that we've heard talked about among the favorites to get Deshaun that he would go to, and that they're a contender. You know, if he goes to especially if he goes to the Jets, that's one of the few teams that was worse than the Texans this past year. And now you're robbing them of all their draft capital and potentially one of their best young defensive players. They basically become a worse version of the 2020 Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson on them. The Jets, they're not going to be good even with Deshaun Watson. The Carolina Panthers, they're a two-year build at least, even with Deshaun Watson. The Denver Broncos, they're not a contender in the same division as Kansas City, even with Deshaun Watson. I think that's something that Deshaun Watson probably needs to reconcile a little bit, is that while he wants badly out of here so very badly, he wants out of here so badly reportedly. He hasn't said anything to McClain's point, but it clearly appears that he wants out of here very, very badly. There's not a perfect situation for him. He's going somewhere, unlike J.J. Watt, who can pick and choose where he wants to go. Like J.J. Watt's, if he wants to go somewhere that's a Super Bowl contender, he totally controls his situation. If he wants to take a few million bucks to go chase a ring, he can go do that. He's a free agent. Deshaun Watson has some control because he can veto things, but the Texans aren't going to accommodate Deshaun Watson. They're going to do what's in the best interest of the Texans. And the teams that are in the best interest of trading with the Texans are teams that are very, very flawed. And Deshaun is going to wind up, and I don't know how much he's reconciled that. I'd like to think he has. Deshaun's a smart guy. He's not going to be going to a great situation.
That might be one of the things he figures out over the course of the next few months, right? That might be the avenue by which the Texans can work their way back into conversations with him. And so far, it hasn't. Like, all the reports so far have been that he's been non-responsive to texts and phone calls. Maybe that's changed at some point in the last week or so. Last week would have been a tough week just because so few people had actual reliable power and whatnot.
Right.
But I think that, yeah, maybe over time when he starts to survey the landscape, and then after, if it gets through the draft and you start to see, okay, some of these bad teams that were candidates for trading for me now have young quarterbacks, there will be at least probably four guys taken in the first 10 or 15 picks as quarterbacks. So there's four or five teams off the market right there that would want to trade for Deshaun Watson. So, yeah, that might be where he starts evaluating and saying, okay, really, realistically, now that we have these guys in place, maybe they'll tell me that Easterby's role is going to be different somehow. what do we have on the Texans compared to what do the Jets have?
Right.
Okay, what do we have here compared to what the Panthers have? Because supposedly, one of the writers for the Panthers said that Dave Tepper, the owner, is, I think he said hell-bent. He's hell-bent on getting Deshaun Watson. They cleared space, presumably, to try to get Deshaun Watson. They're going to aggressively go after him. Does Deshaun, if Deshaun goes to Carolina, it depends on how much Carolina gives back to the Texans.
Yeah.
Because you and I both look at Carolina's roster, and I see, man, actual defensive players, young studs on the defensive line. Derrick Brown, the defensive tackle. Brian Burns, the edge rusher. They got that safety that's so good. Jeremy Chin, very promising young player. But if Deshaun looks at that trade, does he say, well, wait a second. Now, okay, so we're gonna weaken the Panthers to the point where they're like the Texans, and now the Texans actually might get a little bit stronger. I'm talking myself into being more optimistic about Deshaun sticking around, Sean.
Yeah, he ain't getting traded to the Chiefs. You know what I mean? He's not getting traded to the Bucks or the Packers or these teams that are ready-made Super Bowl contenders.
There are a lot of dysfunctional teams out there, and that's what you have to wonder about if you're Deshaun. You have to sit there and think, all right, am I trading this level of dysfunction for some other level of dysfunction?
Yeah.
And every team, there's different varieties of dysfunction. On some teams, like, say, Daniel Snyder out in Washington, you got this psychotic, egomaniacal billionaire who can't be told nothing by nobody. Then you go to other teams. You've got the Detroit Lions, who have generations upon generations of wealthy children running this franchise, and who knows what the hell their priorities even are.
Yep.
You get to all different – you go to these different places, and every place has got its little idiosyncrasies.
No doubt.
And a lot of billionaires are really, really weird. Really
yes.
weird.
Yeah.
So it's not as simple as like, oh, I'll go there and the grass will be completely greener over there.
We at Sports Radio 610 are asking for your help. You may have seen us on social media this weekend helping out Kids Meals Houston, which is an organization that feeds kids that are in conditions of extreme poverty that don't get school-based free meals. They lost power during the winter storm. They had to throw out all of their inventory. They feed thousands of kids. So we're hoping to quickly get them back to normal. You guys did a great job over the weekend of helping out with that. Amy and I made some meals for them, and we've got instructions on our social media and on our website, sportsradio610.com, as to how you can do that. I know Clint got a bunch of his friends from Baytown to put 500 meals together for the kids. We put together 100. But even just donating money is awesome. If that's what you've got the time to do, is just go text Kids Meals, all one word, to 20357. They would love that if you could do that. So we went there and we dropped off the meals. They said, man, the outpouring has been incredible. The Texans donated, I think, $25,000. So great job by the Texans on that. But if you want to text Kids Meals to 20357, any dollar you can donate helps feed impoverished kids here in Houston, and they need to get back to normal here after the freeze last week. Kids Meals to 20357. How far back do the broken promises from the Texans to Deshaun Watson go? That's next. Okay, so there was a piece in The Athletic last week that was a really good deep dive on Deshaun Watson and where his trust kind of faded with the Houston Texans over the last couple of years, going back long before this recent era of dissatisfaction. It's called Shattered Trust, How Deshaun Watson Lost Faith in the Houston Texans. And it's a really good read. It's got some interesting things in there about the DeAndre Hopkins trade that we hashed out last week. There were a few items, Seth, that we didn't get to last week that I thought would be appropriate to clean up this week, especially in light of the fact that Peter King is reporting that the Texans are still dug in and they're not even picking up the phone, basically, when teams call to talk about trading Deshaun Watson. And the one thing that I found interesting was after the DeAndre Hopkins trade, and it was confirmed in this article that video that we saw on social media the day of the trade where Quincy Avery, Deshaun's quarterback coach, put a video up of Deshaun kind of doing the side eye at a workout that the two of them had, a very brief video that was up with Deshaun's kind of reaction to the trade. That was indeed Deshaun finding out about that trade the same time we all did on social media. He didn't see it coming. None of us saw it coming until that morning where Peter King was saying, hey, the Texans might trade DeAndre Hopkins, and sure enough, 3 hours later, they had moved on from him. But what I thought was interesting was in the aftermath of that, Bill O'Brien, according to this article, reportedly promised Deshaun more involvement in team building after the Hopkins trade.
Yeah.
Which, Look, it doesn't specify if that really happened or not. You know, they didn't really make any earth-shaking moves after that. The earth had kind of shook at that point. If anything, they should have made more moves on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, and I think this is where
the Cooks trade, I guess, real quick. The Cooks trade, I guess, qualifies as a big move after the Hopkins deal. But anyways, continue.
Well, but I guess I think a lot of people's first objection to Deshaun, if they're criticizing Deshaun in this matter, is, hey, why should the quarterback think that he has any input or say in all these matters? We've gotten this image of the Texans of both Bill O'Brien and Cal McNair at various points asking for Deshaun's input and wanting his input, or at least telling him that his input matters. And then perhaps Deshaun has felt like his input hasn't actually mattered all that much. It's regardless of the actual details of all of it, I think it's important to note that it's not Deshaun standing up and saying, hey, listen, you two, listen to me. This is how it's got to go down. It's very much been ownership or the coach going to Deshaun Watson and asking for his input. And frankly, a lot of the times, you know, when John and I would argue about this, when John McClain and I would argue about this, John would say things like, well, what does a player know about managing a roster? And my retort would be, what do a lot of these GMs and coaches know about managing a roster? Is your argument that the Texans right now have been an example of competence at roster management? So at the very least, a quarterback understands his teammates. A quarterback understands how the actions of the front office and the coach are perceived. And if that quarterback feels like all of his input and maybe his warnings or his soundings of alarms are just going unheeded, you probably feel extra peeved. That's different than in a normal situation where a player doesn't feel like, if a player never feels like he had a say anyway, sometimes that's easier to handle than if somebody says, hey, I really want your input. And you say, okay, look, this is a big problem. And then the person says, okay, thumbs up. And then they turn around and just basically defy everything you just told them. That's got to be a little bit what it feels like for Deshaun right now. And he probably feels like, well, it's not going to get any better as long as I'm telling them that there's major issues with the way things are operated here and they refuse to listen to me. So what loyalty do I owe them exactly if they're not even going to listen to me tell what the very basic problems are?
Deshaun is not quoted in this article on The Athletic, Seth. The article, it's a three man effort. Jason Jenks, Aaron Reese, and Mike Sando are the attributed authors of this very lengthy article. It's really, really good. Deshaun's not quoted anywhere directly in here for this piece, but I feel like his fingerprints are all over it. In that the goal of the piece appears to be to get Deshaun's side of the story out there on what all led up to this. Hey, this wasn't just me getting angry over not getting a phone call about Nick Caserio becoming the general manager. This is deep-seated, pervasive stuff that's been going on for a long, long time. The other thing that leads me to believe that Deshaun's fingerprints are on this thing is that it seems like the most quoted person in the article, oddly enough, is a person by the name of Jason Roland, who's Deshaun's barber. And Deshaun's barber is quoted in here like he's part of the inner circle of Deshaun. Like he was in the room when the contract was negotiated for $156 million. Like it's very strange. And look, people confide in who they confide in. And, you know, he's so oft quoted in here that I feel like, man, if I'm his barber and I'm giving out all these quotes about how Deshaun feels about certain things and all these different aspects of this article, I'm thinking, okay, he's got to be doing this with Deshaun's blessing, right? Like this barber who's giving all kinds of quotes in this article, like he, I'm sure he probably checked with Deshaun, like, hey, The Athletic is calling me. Are you cool with me talking about this, or that? He's got to be doing this with Deshaun's blessing, don't you think, Seth?
I suppose. I guess I didn't necessarily. I think the barber just talked about how hard it is to get into his inner circle. Did I miss a quote where he actually like dished on the team?
No, it's just that okay. I'd have to go back and read it. I'm just going off what my notes were from the article.
Yeah,
I was more taken aback by just how. I mean, there's like three different instances in the article where they circle back to Jason Roland. It's his barber.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, Seth, like if you were going through some major ordeal with your employer that was very public like this, how often would the person that cuts your hair be quoted in the article? article.
Well,
you know,
that's why if I'm getting my hair cut once a week and I'm chatting quite a bit with him, then so be it, I suppose.
Yeah. And I'm not saying, like, you confide in who you confide in. I'm just thinking, like, if I'm Jason Rowland and I ever want Deshaun Watson sitting in my barber's chair again, I'm certainly checking with him before I say, hey, Aaron Reese is calling me up asking me about this big article that they're doing about you. Like, if I'm a barber, I don't say anything about anything relative to Deshaun Watson unless he tells me it's okay.
Deshaun's quarterback's coach, Quincy Avery, has been pretty vocal at times or opinionated about just things in general, not just Deshaun Watson, but just things in general. Every now and then he'll have a tweet that sounds like it could be criticizing Texans management, but he pulls up just short. He got into it with Marcellus Wiley, and it got kind of ugly.
For those who don't know, Marcellus Wiley, former defensive lineman in the NFL, who is now a host of Speak for Yourself on Fox. He's one of the co-hosts on there with Emmanuel Acho.
And he's been pretty critical of Deshaun Watson during all of this.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily want to use the verbiage that Quincy Avery did on this. He tweeted at how am I going to say this? He tweeted at Marcellus Wiley, and he said, "My guy, you be on TV blanking every day." Basically, use the term that to say he's a sellout to the African American community.
Okay,
we'll say that.
Yeah,
it's like I don't know. I don't want to get into it any further than that.
I think people get the point.
Okay, yeah, whatever. You brought me up on. Can I stammer a little bit more, Sean? Just let me appropriately stammer
away,
so people know I'm uncomfortable. Okay,
okay,
it takes a certain amount of stammering to be sure they're like, okay, this white guy isn't completely trying to
fair
be a
point.
Complete ass.
Fair
yeah.
point. Yeah.
Okay. So Quincy Avery, the quarterback's coach, Deshaun Watson, said this to Marcellus Wiley. "My guy, you be on TV blanking every day. You brought me up on your show. We'll run into each other sooner or later. No pressure. Keep the energy." And eventually that was deleted. But there was kind of some back and forth between these two, where Quincy was making it clear that he was willing to fight Marcellus Wiley, which is, I'll tell you, it's impressive because Marcellus Wiley is 6'5", 285 pounds. Raised in Compton, I believe.
Yeah.
So he's no punk.
No.
And so Quincy Avery, I don't think is quite that stature. So this would be an interesting one to watch if they threw down.
Well, I'll be interested to see just how outspoken Quincy Avery is, because Quincy's tweet about, hey, you know, post the Wentz trade, hey, just asking for a friend. When is it okay? What's the criteria for trading a quarterback? We've had Quincy on this show before, but after that tweet last week, where it looked like Quincy was trying to stick up for Deshaun still being stuck in this situation here in Houston while other quarterbacks are getting traded, he was supposed to go on with Clint Sterner in the show late last week in the 5 o'clock hour, and he had to back out of it because people in Deshaun's inner circle were like, "We don't want you doing that conversation, Quincy." So I'll be interested to see. I follow Quincy on Twitter, and I'll be interested to see just if he continues to be as outspoken as he's been about Deshaun's situation, or if maybe David Mulligetta is looking at the situation, Deshaun's agent, and saying, "Look, we need one spearhead on this thing. You know, we need one person kind of getting the story out there and leading the charge on this thing. We need to dial you back a little bit." You know?
Yeah, and exactly. It gets harder to control the message when you've got various people, whether it's your barber or Quincy Avery or all these other guys kind of spouting off. And everybody, what happens is people start looking at those quotes from people close to you as your opinion.
Yes.
You know, so like Quincy Avery is his own man and he can have an opinion that isn't Deshaun Watson's, but because Deshaun's not talking, people are going to hear what Quincy Avery says. Like when he says, "I'll smack fire out of Marcellus Wiley in real life." So there's that. Because Marcellus Wiley said something about Quincy Avery pillow talking for Deshaun Watson, and that's when Quincy started making it physical there.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
Yeah, so you can check out that article on The Athletic. It's a pretty lengthy piece, but I think it gives a pretty good account of Deshaun's side in a lot of this stuff. A lot of people, or a lot of anecdotes from his last year or so of of being with the Texans. All right. Download the Radio.com app. The Radio.com Rewind feature is very, very helpful in times like these. We can tell just from the volume of texts and phone calls today, a lot of you getting back into the groove post the big freeze last week. So we appreciate you tuning back into us here on Sports Radio 610. Reworking the J.J. Watt odds. Based on reports, one of the favorites for J.J. Watt is reported to by one of their beat writers as having, quote, no chance at him. And it may surprise you which team that is. That's next. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. We will do headlines in about 11 or 12 minutes or so. We'll get to headlines with you. 713-572-4610 if you want in on the conversation. So late last week, Cleveland, the Browns seemed to be emerging as an early favorite for J.J. Watt. Now, a lot of that was reporting that came from the city of Cleveland. So that needs to be factored in. But Mary Kay Cabot, who does a really, really good job covering the Cleveland Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com is the website, had the Browns as one of the teams that J.J. Watt was, quote, seriously considering, and listed all the reasons why J.J. Watt would want to go to the Browns. Potential Super Bowl contender. They've got a good quarterback in Baker Mayfield. They've got a good supporting cast in Myles Garrett. The one thing that they have that other teams don't have, salary cap space. They've got the money to spend to bring J.J. Watt. If money is a factor, if that's a tiebreaker in this whole thing, then the Browns are actually sitting on over $20 million in cap space, whereas a lot of these other teams that would be in on J.J. Watt, they've got work to do when it comes to their salary cap. Among those teams that have work to do on their salary cap is the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers, if you look at any of the odds boards for J.J. Watt, they are the betting favorite. Anytime I go on a show and get asked where I think J.J. Watt could end up, I always bring up the Packers first because it checks so many boxes. But, Seth, this was one of the reports on the Packers from this weekend that I saw from Mary Kay Cabot. She cited Tom Silverstein, who covers the Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And my guess is he's not very popular in Milwaukee right now because he seems to be a big dark cloud. He seems to be a wet blanket on the J.J. Watt talk up in Green Bay. He said, quote, or he tweeted this, Tom Silverstein, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, was adamant on Friday that Watt to the Packers is not happening. So this is he's their McClain. Not going to happen. He says, quote, he tweeted this, I see where it might look like that because, let me back up, the Packers did some moves the past week or so to open up some cap space, so people immediately said, oh, they're doing this to go get J.J. Watt. Continuing, Silverstein said, I can see where it might look like that, but the Packers are not going to sign Watt. They've got to get under the cap, and they have too many others they need to re-sign slash extend. Unless the market somehow collapses on Watt, he'll sign for way more than Green Bay can pay. It's not a good match. To which, now the follow-up question becomes, okay, how important is money to J.J. Watt in certain situations? Would Green Bay be a situation, and I can't imagine there's a situation that would line up more this way than Green Bay, but is Green Bay a situation where J.J. would take not just less money, but significantly less money to go play?
I think that's the tough part of trying to figure out where you fit on a team. Because, look, J.J. could take a discount to go someplace like Green Bay. The problem with taking a discount is that team's not showing any commitment to you. And you become very expendable, right? Now, like, and J.J. knows better than anybody else that, hey, injuries happen. These things can happen. I don't imagine that J.J.'s really interested in going and just being a mercenary at this point and being, like, Ndamukong Suh and maybe playing one-year deals everywhere you go. Even though Ndamukong Suh has stayed more than 1 year in his places, it's kind of got that feel to it. I would be surprised if that's the way J.J.'s feeling. So if he has options and there's a team, let's say he could go to Green Bay on a short-term deal at an extreme discount, but hey, it's Green Bay versus Buffalo on a three-year deal, and it feels like they're committed to him. Buffalo's probably going to win in that situation just because Buffalo is going to – they're committed to him playing. They're not going to start some rookie that shows some promise over him. So – and they want him to be a genuine leader. So that's just where – I would be surprised. Now, it's not, that's not out of the realm of possibilities. There's an allure to going back and playing for the team you grew up cheering for, and it's in your home state. And obviously, the people in Green Bay would just take him in. Does it offset? You know, that's one of the arguments they tell Dak Prescott, Sean, is that, hey, in Dallas, you know, hey, we might not pay you as much, but you're going to get all this extra endorsement money. Does JJ improve his endorsement money by going to play for Green Bay?
No. I mean, he may.
I don't know. That's a pretty.
Well, he's already a big national. Seth, he hosted Saturday Night Live. I mean, he's a huge national star already. Now he may clean up in endorsements in the state of Wisconsin. Local hero returning home, but those don't pay
Green
like
Bay's a national. That's a national, though.
No, I get it, like, but I'm saying he's already there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you know, JJ's not a guy who needs his profile raised. Like, he's JJ Watt. Again, he hosted Saturday Night Live on a bad Texans team.
I don't know. There's a matter of relevance, though, too, and I think that maybe just
keeps it going.
Yeah. It's like, how much pop is there to it? All of a sudden, JJ Watt teamed up with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. Maybe it means a few more national, some more. Like, are we talking a millions of dollars difference, though?
Does he show up as Aaron Rodgers' henchman in a State Farm commercial where he sacks Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Something
maybe
like that.
Maybe takes it to Jake, who's getting a little too big for his britches, in my opinion.
A little bit.
No, and I mean physically. He's getting a little too yoked. He's making these professional athletes look puny.
He is jacked. No, you're right about that. It's funny you bring up Sue. As you're bringing up Sue, and Ndamukong Sue, he did finally get his ring this year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But he has been, like, he's been the ultimate mercenary, right? Like, he left Detroit in free agency to go play for a really bad Dolphins team because they made him the highest paid player in football. And then he became a one-year soldier of fortune, going to the Rams and then going to the Bucks. And he did finally get his ring, and I don't know how important that was to Ndamukong Sue. I don't follow him closely enough to know what his criteria is. He may just be trying to make the most money that he can, and that's fine. Whatever your criteria is, it does get me wondering, Seth, like, how many teams does it take for you as a star player? And I think Sue is a star, maybe not anymore. He's a good player now. He was a star back when he left Detroit. Like, how many teams do you go play for on little one-year deals like that before it truly feels like you're just whoring yourself out trying to get ring? Like, did Ndamukong Sue enjoy this ring as much as, like, Lavonte David did, who's a career Buccaneer, who'd been through the ups and the downs as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer? Like, how many teams do you have to go to on those mercenary-type contracts before you really do feel like, man, I'm just chasing rings here?
I don't know. Yeah, because I don't know if he was chasing rings. I mean, for him, it was
either.
Just. Yeah. I don't.
But I guess I'm talking about JJ. You know, like, how many. Like, I don't feel like. I feel like JJ, wherever he's going next, he just feels like, you know what? My time was up in Houston. That was a bad team. Wherever I'm moving next, I hope to have the same connection with the fans there and really embed and immerse myself in this team and be part of it. And I think that's kind of the point you're making, where you say you don't see him as a one-year contract guy here and there.
Right, which is why I would say, like, when you talk about him signing for the minimum to go to Green Bay, I don't think, or a lesser amount, I wouldn't think it's because that's his option to go get a ring. I think he'd be doing it for other reasons, just because it's the Packers.
That makes sense.
And because of all that. I don't think so if I say take a discount to go play for Green Bay, maybe, but I don't think that same thing is there just for any other contender, just because they're a contender.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have at least a couple of offers from respectable teams that are contenders or at least could, you know, are going to be planning on making deep playoff pushes, that he doesn't have to go to a bargain basement deal, perhaps.
What do you make of this report from Green Bay saying, no, Green Bay is not going to be in on this J.J. Watt stuff, does it? I thought all along Green Bay is the favorite, but I read that from their beat writer up there, and I didn't know their cap situation was as bad as it is up there. It does make me pause a little bit and think about me labeling them as the favorite for sure.
I do think that a lot of teams are being thrown into the mix where people are just they're not stopping to think about, well, hey, wait a second. Do we know that this team is even making a push for J.J. Watt?
Yeah.
I don't think Green Bay can make as competitive an offer or a push as a Cleveland or a Buffalo. Those are two teams who have their quarterbacks on the rookie deals.
That's a great point.
And they have to think about it, but they got a little bit more flexibility. And the thing about Green Bay, though, is that it seems like so much, in some respects, kind of like the 2015 or the 2016 Houston Astros, where, man, maybe what they need are a couple veteran players. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is a veteran player, but Aaron Rodgers isn't necessarily, I don't want to say that he's not a leader, but he's not that kind of a leader, like, say, a Brian McCann or a Carlos Beltran or one of these guys that can take over, you know, just be that veteran voice and that veteran leader on the defensive side of the ball or amongst position players.
JJ's that. I mean, JJ would provide that type of leadership, I think, for any team, and particularly that team. Boy, Quincy Avery is taking some on the text page. Deshaun's personal quarterbacks coach, who Seth just outlined in the previous segment, the sort of, I guess, Twitter battle going on with him and Marcellus Wiley of FS1 right now. And, boy, if this small smattering of texts that came in after that segment is any indicator, you can see why David Mulligetta, Deshaun's agent, might want to peel Quincy Avery back a little bit, because he's a reflection of Deshaun in some ways. If anything, it's going to affect Deshaun's popularity negatively. I'll read some of the texts. I stand with Marcellus. Marcellus embarrassed Quincy Avery. Let's be real. These are all from different phone numbers, by the way. Marcellus said dudes calling themselves experts when they weren't even good enough to play quarterback. Marcellus did point that out, that Quincy Avery in college switched over to wide receiver, so he wasn't even a quarterback.
Yeah, that's one thing. Like that feels like former player doing the old, you didn't even play the game.
Yeah,
lots of really good coaches that weren't. But some of the very best coaches weren't great athletes.
Yeah, no, I'm just conveying. I'm just the messenger here. Marcellus said it right. Quincy Avery be pillow talking. That's the word that he used.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Quincy Avery reminds me of Reggie from Ballers.
I don't know who that is.
Ballers. No. Okay, it's the show. It's the Rock's show about. It's an HBO show.
I know
show.
The show. I don't know who Reggie is.
Yeah. No, I'm just, for our listeners, I'm explaining it. Yeah, it's the show with the Rock on HBO. Reggie is a cousin of one of the prominent fictional NFL players on the show, who is basically like his personal spokesperson. You know, he's like one of these inner circle guys. It's a little too loud.
One of the shots at Merciless, or Whitney, not Merciless, one of the shots that Marcellus Wiley took at Quincy Avery was that he hasn't actually done anything for anybody other than Deshaun Watson in terms of turning them into really good quarterbacks. He does have, let's see, Jalen Hurts is one of his clients, is he not?
I don't know if Jalen Hurts is or not. I know Justin Fields was at one time. I know Dwayne Haskins was at one time as well. I believe the Lance kid, Drew Lance, the kid coming out of North Dakota State this year. Trey Lance. The kid coming out of North Dakota State, I believe he's a Quincy Avery product as well.
He's got some potential up-and-comers.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure Deshaun's gotten him a lot of business. You know, Deshaun has been good for his brand, no doubt about that. It's also mentioned on here that Jason Rowland is a well-known barber, cut several prominent Houston professional sports players' hair. He was the one that gave Arian Foster the Texans logo haircut back in the day. I'm sure he's being professional in all of his dealings concerning Watson. I'm sure he is too. I was just merely pointing out that he was quoted several times in the article, that if I'm Deshaun's barber and I've got the Athletic calling me up, I double check with Deshaun before I give quotes to the Athletic. That's all.
The one thing there is I didn't see his quotes as being anything other than just, hey, Deshaun is very careful about how he lets into his inner circle. He wasn't given juicy details about the Texans' inner workings.
He was not. Again, I would still check with Deshaun before I give quotes to any outlet about my relationship with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah. Especially when you're, I would imagine, given that he does work with quite a few high profile clients, he's probably pretty smart about what he says and doesn't say.
This is where I point out, it's his barber. It's not his agent. He's being.
You know, the thing about Deshaun is that his hair is actually kind of nasty.
Have you ever smelled him up close? I've smelled him before. I'm sure he's super professional. Just look at a picture of me. It would be obvious why I have no clue about anything on the barber scene here in the city of Houston. I'm a DIY guy when it comes to that.
Yeah.
All right. 713-572-4610. Ooh, it's 7:48. Let's get to headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
All right, BaywayJeep.com brings you headlines here on Payne and Pendergast Sports Radio 610. And the first headline, speaking of Deshaun Watson, this is from Peter King in his Football Morning in America column today. And Deshaun Watson is the lead. It's the lead story. The status of the Deshaun Watson trade talks, or really, I guess, Seth, it would be more the lack thereof. Because Peter King points out in the money shot on the Watson section of his column, Houston is not only not interested in trading Watson, but also not interested in listening to offers for him. At least two teams have given offers to Houston and gotten zero feedback, like no reaction, no we'll get back to you, nothing. That is Peter King in Football Morning in America. So they, it's funny, Seth, when I read, like, they're not even interested in listening to offers for him. I picture Nick Caserio with his fingers in his ears going, la, 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 la. I'm not listening to your offers.
Stop calling me.
Yeah.
Careful, careful, Nick, because a lot of times what happens is you don't return those calls, and then all of a sudden you're sitting alone on a Saturday night thinking, why does nobody ever call me? I've been there before. You gotta, it takes two to tango. Yeah.
Well, now that Stafford's been moved and Carson Wentz has been moved, and I'm not saying that either of those guys are in Deshaun Watson's league, but they are veteran quarterbacks who've performed at one time at a high level that would certainly be viewed as commitments for 2021 and 2022 and maybe beyond by the teams that traded for them. I don't know that other than the draft, Seth, that there sits out there another solution that would be viewed as a surefire veteran starting quarterback. You know, now that the Rams have settled on Stafford, now that the Colts have settled on Wentz, I don't know that there's teams out there, like for the Panthers, for example, are hell-bent, quote, hell-bent on getting Deshaun Watson. Like, I don't know that another solution is out there where you feel like if you're Nick Caserio, that the Panthers aren't going to be there to make a deal with. You know, their only alternative is to draft Trey Lance with the 8th pick in the draft as far as alternatives that would represent something similar to Watson in terms of a young quarterback, franchise guy moving forward. Right? Like, there's...
Right.
You know, there's no other solutions. The teams that are in the market for Deshaun Watson, they're either going to draft a quarterback or they'll still be there to take your phone call about Deshaun Watson if Nick Caserio changes his mind about entertaining this trade market.
Yeah. So, I mean, you think the offers that have been made are pretty much the offers that are out there at this point?
No, I just think they'll still be there 4, 5, 6 weeks from now is my point.
The
Panthers aren't, you know, the Panthers aren't going to move on to their plan B is to draft a quarterback.
Well, if we're looking at Carson Wentz as a bona fide starting quarterback, then I don't see any difference between Jimmy Garoppolo and certainly Dak Prescott. So I guess if somebody wanted to try to wrangle those guys away and say, all right, I'm not set at quarterback, I want to get at least Jimmy Garoppolo in here, and then maybe we'll draft somebody. The New England Patriots. The New England Patriots might very well want to say, all right, let's get Garoppolo in here, and then we'll see. Maybe we'll take Mac Jones in the draft or something. But I want to have Jimmy Garoppolo right now. So I think there's still room for maneuvering, and then there's also room for trying to trade up in the draft if they don't trade there. So I guess there's everything. I feel like all the rules about what's possible or what might get traded or who might be a starting quarterback have been completely wiped out. I saw somebody yesterday. I heard somebody say, well, look, that pick that the Colts traded to the Eagles is going to be a first-round pick because, of course, unless he gets injured, Carson Wentz is going to be the starter all year long. Because this is for the listeners. If Carson Wentz plays more than 70% of the snaps, the second-round pick becomes a first-round pick that the Colts traded to the Eagles. And I just don't know, how on earth is anybody looking at that as a guarantee? Nothing's guaranteed. Carson Wentz might get benched after three games. I don't think Frank Reich, just because he's got fond memories of the Super Bowl year, is going to all of a sudden just say, oh, no, you can go on being bad for a long time.
Yeah. So who do you think the two teams are that Peter King is citing here in this report? The two teams, he says, and again, Peter King says at least two teams have given offers to Houston and gotten zero feedback, like no reaction, no we'll get back to you, nothing. Who do you think if you had to guess who the two teams are, who do you think they are?
The Panthers.
Panthers for sure, right?
And then would Nick Caserio not call back the Patriots?
Not that the
Patriots would have...
To me, the bigger question with the Patriots, because I was going to mention, when you bring up Garoppolo being another guy who's out there, and, you know, maybe the Patriots, they get Garoppolo, and that's a quarterback who's taking up a spot. Do you think Deshaun would approve a trade to go play for Bill Belichick in New England? Do you think he'd play for the Patriots?
I don't. There are these reports that he said he would waive it for anybody because he wants to get this out that badly. I don't think so. And I don't know. I don't look at that roster. I mean, those receivers have been bad for 2 years now. And I don't know what the promise would be that somehow he'd be going to a better roster, which is all, this is all what you brought up earlier is, man, a lot of the teams that are going to be willing to trade for Deshaun Watson might not be all those, that rosy a destination. So I would say, I brought up the Patriots because I think Caserio would at least return a call to the Patriots because of his relationship there.
Sure.
I think likewise, he's got a relationship with those guys in Miami. So I think he would return a call to Miami. So I don't think it was Miami. It could be possibly Carolina and the Jets maybe. Would those be the two most likely teams that have maybe had hard offers for the Texans?
Well, Denver is the new betting favorite according to
FanDuel. Yeah.
So
That's true.
If I had to pick two, I would say Carolina for sure is one of them just based on that's the one team where we've had reports about the owner wanting Deshaun Watson. Like, if you have a team where the owner is saying, we got to go get this guy, if you're working for that guy, you're on the, you're working the phones, you're floating all kinds of offers out there. So I think the Panthers for sure. And then if I had to pick another one, I thought Miami at first, but you're right, Nick Caserio would probably call those guys back. We're talking about two teams that have made offers for Deshaun Watson and gotten no feedback on the offers. Probably much more likely that Denver and their neophyte GM that they have there, who's no longer John Elway, would not get a call back from the Texans.
You know how much Carolina is wishing that Bill O'Brien were still the general manager of the Texans?
Yeah.
Because O'Brien...
Two-thirds for Deshaun Watson.
O'Brien would go straight up McCaffrey for Deshaun Watson. Like, with a running back like that, we can't lose! But we can keep David Johnson, right? Right, Nick? Can we do? Can we keep David Johnson?
Go with the wishbone. All right, so that's the latest on Deshaun Watson. The latest is that the Texans, according to Peter King, not listening to any offers. Shifting gears and headlines, getting over to the NBA. One of the reasons why it was such a slow weekend, there was no Rockets basketball this weekend. Probably a decent break for the Rockets right now, who are in the middle of a long losing streak. Both their games, Friday and Saturday, canceled. Because of the cold weather and the impact of the power outage on Toyota Center, they are back at it tonight against the Chicago Bulls at home. They should have a bunch of home games coming up here because it feels like they've been on the road a ton lately. I guess the big news with the Rockets over the weekend, Seth, is that they are going to do their best to accommodate Boogie Cousins and get him into a situation where he's playing for a contender. And the Rockets' motivation in this is, you know, there's somewhat selfish motivations there as well. They'd rather see some of these young guys play the five than have Boogie Cousins running up and down the floor on a cheapo veteran contract when we know that he's not part of the long-term plan here. So whether it's a trade or an outright release, they're going to guarantee his salary and then let him go find a better situation.
Do you think they start being very, 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 very careful with Christian Wood's ankle for the rest of the season?
Well, Christian Wood talked about it over the weekend. He said he's practically ready to come back, but they are being cautious with it right now. So yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, that's a maybe extreme caution.
Yeah, and they'll be like lose a lot of games. Caution.
Yeah. Like because getting that lottery, getting that high pick in the lottery, might be pretty nice. The NBA is so. The NBA, you know what it is about the NBA? That lack of clarity in which pick you're going to get makes it feel somehow even dirtier for tanking. If you knew exactly how high your pick was going to be based on tanking, yeah. I feel like somehow they got to fix this at some point. It's just this one hanging chad in the NBA that nobody feels good about, nobody feels right about, and it makes everything sloppier than it needs to
be. Well, these protections on picks make the draft not fun to follow at all. It's so confusing. And for those who don't know what it is Seth and I are referring to, the Rockets, as part of the Russell Westbrook trade, the Thunder have the right to swap spots with the Rockets in the upcoming draft, except if the Rockets have one of the top four picks in the draft and they get to keep the pick. Otherwise, yeah, the Thunder get to swap with them. And somehow Miami is mixed into this thing because I think Miami's got a pick swap with Oklahoma City. So somehow the Rockets could wind up with Miami's pick and all this. It's kind of making our point here, which is, the NBA needs to get a hold on this thing. You know why, mostly, Seth? Because all of a sudden, you and I are in a city that's going to be way more interested in the NBA draft than we've been for the last eight years.
I was led to believe that the Rockets would never, ever, ever, ever have a lottery pick ever again. That was at various times over the last few years when trade proposals have been floated in which the Rockets would give up five of their next first round. I don't know. four, five first-round picks in the next 10 years. That doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
They never are going to have a lottery pick ever.
Yeah.
As long as James Harden is alive, as long as he's breathing breath,
yeah.
But it turns out, no, James Harden's an MVP candidate up in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn's on a six-game winning streak right now. All right, Deion Sanders this weekend coached his first game at Jackson State. And a lot of you may not realize this. There is college football being played this spring at the FCS level.
I'm so disoriented and confused.
This
every
should
time
help.
I pull up. I know. I'm so confused about who's playing football, who's eligible for the draft, who's coming back next year.
Yeah.
All of this. How many sixth-year seniors are there going to be next year? It's all so strange.
It's very disorienting. Deion Sanders is the new head football coach at Jackson State, which is Walter Payton's alma mater. They won 53-0 against some small school this weekend. That was not the story from the game, though. The story from this game was that apparently Deion Sanders had all of his belongings swiped from his office. Here is Deion Sanders in the post game.
I'm pissed off right now because I have mixed emotions. We won. Kids played really well. But while the game was going on, somebody came in and stole every darn thing I had in my locker room, in the coach's office. Yeah. Credit cards, wallet, watches. Thank God I had all my necklaces. How? So when I talk about quality and raising the standards, and that goes for everyone, man. Not just the people on the field, not just the coaches, not just the teachers, not just the faculty, but that's everybody. Security.
Security as well, Seth. Security needs to step up their game at Jackson State. The security watching his office.
I take it was a home game.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I mean, they were playing. I'd never even heard of the school that they were playing.
I wonder, though, too. Deion might still be adjusting to the differences in budget between a Florida State, San Francisco 49ers, a Dallas Cowboys, and Atlanta Falcons, and Jackson State. Jackson State, I'm guessing, doesn't have the same security budget that some of the other places do. Nor have they probably had a head coach in recent history who has as much nice stuff as Deion Sanders.
It's true.
So he's probably the biggest target they've had in some time.
They played something called Edward Waters. Was the name of the school that they played.
Well, Edward Waters knows who's boss now, all right? Edward Waters isn't going to be strolling into Jackson State anytime soon.
Yeah, so Deion Sanders, all of his stuff swiped. If you swiped his stuff, you probably got caught on security camera. I would hope you're going to get caught. Turn it back in. Give Prime back his stuff, please.
I bet he is a hell of a recruiter.
Deion Sanders?
Yeah. I mean, because he has the name, obviously, but part of the reason is his name. Is because he's just such an incredible personality.
I'm rooting for him.
Deion walks into my house and starts telling me nice things about my kid. Hell yeah. Send him to Jackson State, Deion.
I'm rooting for him. It would be fun as hell to have Deion Sanders coaching prominent, big-time college football. No disrespect to Jackson State. But Deion Sanders wanted the job at Florida State a couple years ago. Well, that was laughable. Florida State, while they've hit some hard times recently, that's still a Power 5 school that has championship pedigree not all that long ago. Deion needs to go cut his teeth somewhere else. I hope he's a good coach at Jackson State so he winds up coaching somewhere so we can watch Deion Sanders on the recruiting trail. That would be fun as hell to watch. All right, you're listening to KILT and KILT HD2, a radio.com station.
Hey, one thing, my son would do well in the SWAC on the social side of things. He'd be like, you're a unicorn there when you go to the
one.
You're kind of like, hey, you're just like when you're one of the white kids on a SWAC team. It's just you're unique in some respects. You go out to the parties and there's a certain certain appeal to the guy. Like, oh, he's different. I can't quite put my finger on it, but he's different. That kid, he's got confidence.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a fetish over there. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.